Well, hello, Elias. Nice to connect with you again from Radio Primavera Sound. We are a week away from your visit to Barcelona, where you're going to be presenting your solo tour in Sala Vol. A lot of us are very excited for this show. How are audiences reacting to your shows as a solo artist?
Well, I'd say it's been a kind of, yes, it's been a mad year. I've been doing a lot of gigging and running around, and I've kind of been playing shows in two ways. Sometimes with a backing band, which is not explosive in the way that Ice Age is, but you know, a bit more, a bit more explosive, yeah, I'd say. But in Barcelona, I'm gonna be playing all on my own with a guitar and also some with some electronic backings and stuff. Which is like a much more intimate setting, or you could say it relies on intimacy, and it's really interesting to me because I've come from punk music and a nature of shows that is very aggressive, so it's been an ongoing lesson in turning things around and pulling people in rather than coming at them, if that makes sense.
Because apart from you mentioned the word aggressive, but I would also use the word cathartic. Ice Age shows had a cathartic kind of feeling both for band and audience. Have you figured out ways of creating an energy when you're just on your own, like you're going to be next week? Not necessarily maybe as cathartic, but is that what you strive for as a live performer?
Well, I mean, like it's two ways to getting to the core of things, at least one aspect of, like, say Ice Age show is that there's a level of catharsis but also abandon. And that's not it with a show like that. You actually have to be extremely present. And it's like, you know, there's not really anything to fall back on. There's no safety net, which is a good thing. So when the things are so sparse, you have to kind of put a lot of weight into what's there. But in the end, it's all kind of channeling the same thing, which is trying to communicate, I guess.
But yeah, apart from the communicating, does it become addictive to create that human experience and that connection anywhere in the world you go, and all of a sudden strangers are looking at you in a way after a show, and you know you've done something incredible to capture the moment?
We started Ice Age when I was 16 years old. We started touring heavily when I was 18. Does the stage get addictive? Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, not any more than like an egg, a sawdust to a lumberjack or something. I don't know, but like, it's what I do. But there's a element to the road life that it's definitely addictive. It's cut, yeah, this, I mean, I think like being so much away when you're quite young, it gives you a sort of sailor syndrome, that when you're suddenly not on the move, it kind of gets difficult to adjust to staying still. And that's definitely something I've had to like battle with in a sense. Like I think that I've learned to stay put more than I could earlier on, because I was like yeah, in a sense addicted to getting lost. And like if you're always kind of like moving, it always, it also seems like there's a lot of basic things you don't need to really configure or take care of, you know. One being like a reason to wake up in the morning, and well, there's always like somewhere to be or somewhere to go. Yeah, that's addictive. Like that almost is like fucking childish lack of responsibility, besides showing up. But no, like at this point, I'd say it's a healthy addiction, if anything.
Also, you were saying, you started with Ice Age when you were young, and those guys in the band are your brothers. You've been friends since you were very little. What are the pros and cons of touring, performing as a solo artist, and not having that backing of your brothers, essentially?
Well, I mean, like it's just kind of broadened my means of expression. I think like I don't know what to do with myself if I don't find like some kind of means of expression or ideas to latch on to. Without it, I'm kind of lost. And I mean, Ice Age is still there, and we're spending a lot of time in the rehearsal space these days, and we're like loving playing together so much. So I'm glad to have that, but like it's great that I found a means to sort of broaden the horizons of where I can like think and realize things. And in a practical sense, if that's what you mean, like I've always traveled alone a lot. Even like if I had time off between tours, I'd just go fuck off somewhere and like figure out how I got home later, you know. So I mean there's good lonelinesses and there's bad lonelinesses, and traveling alone can hold both of them, but I do enjoy kind of being out there by myself.
Yeah, well, I found the composition of Heavy Glory fascinating. The fact that we've read the interviews, know that you were actually writing or demoing songs during the day, and then at night you'd get to perform at a venue in front of strangers. How did that idea come about of write on the road as you perform songs that nobody knows about? There's no pre-promotion, there's no pre-hype. All it is your name.
That was just kind of like not very thought out. It was just I was out there so much, and it made sense to write. And if I'd written something that I were able to play, why not play it? I mean, like I was mostly playing Ice Age material or Marching Church material, because you know that those are the songs that I had. But it kind of seemed like more fun to tailor some songs for that particular way of playing. Yeah, it happened quite organically. I often find that it's you don't always get to like decide what kind of ideas you get, but you get them, and then you just kind of help birth them or pull them out and see what the fucker looks like, you know?
Nice visual. Of all the plays, I mean, if are there any anecdotes that stick out from that phase, that tour where you were, you know, I understand you were playing bookstores and churches and even someone's living room. I mean, was there anything that was like really that sticks in your mind for the end of time?
I mean, lots of things. But I mean, this was over a period of like 2 years where I did that a lot. So you know, life blends together with all of that. But I mean, you mentioned the church. On Heavy Glory, that's a cover of Spaceman 3, Sound of Confusion, and that was in Lisbon, where I was playing a church, and I had never played the song before, but I asked Sonic Boom from Spaceman 3, who lives outside of Lisbon, to play it with me, and he was down to come play the organ in that church, and that's. Then it just kind of stuck with me from there on, but that was kind of musically kind of a moment for me, because I had listened to Spaceman 3 since I was 15 years old, and that song was always the one that resonated with me. So to do it with a hero and a friend in a space like that, that felt important.
There's a song, Another Round. It features a simple drum machine rhythm. Was there an intention of maybe like beefing up certain arrangements on this album, but then deciding that actually the demo idea was good enough? And like for instance, the drum machine rhythm, you just kept it, or was it always intentional to keep that kind of lo-fi vibe?
I mean, I fucking hate the word lo-fi. It's I'd never intentionally aim for something lo-fi, you know? I just kind of fuck around with the means in front of me, and I think for example with Another Round there, it's I think maybe I tried it out with a drummer and a bass player, and it just didn't feel right, so I turned on a drum machine, and then something clicked. So you just kind of with any song, you're trying to listen to the song as if it was a person or something, and it has needs, and it's not very good at articulating what it needs, but you're trying to find out. And sometimes you just know, and sometimes it's a bit of trial and error, but you know, you usually know when it's kind of there.
I get the feeling listening to the songs on Heavy Glory that it was made by someone who fell in love with someone else, like recently before, you know, getting those songs on paper. Was something happening in your life when you were in this phase of composition?
Yeah, I mean, the lyrics kind of state that in various ways, you know. I think yeah, in my personal life, I was going through a relationship during the time that it took to write it, but throughout the time of writing, the it was fair to say that the relationship was tumultuous at times, So it kind of like deals with love in various stages, among other things. So yeah, like as the writing went on in real time, you kind of see like a relationship play out and break itself.
Let's talk about D we have to talk about Dean Blunt. I mean, that album Lucre is a fascinating work. How did that come about? What did he contact you? Did you contact him?
I mean, we'd already worked before, but with the stuff I do with Dean, it's kind of no comment.
Okay. Will we be able to listen to you perform some of the songs from Locker on the on your solo tour, like next week in Barcelona, or is it off the record?
Maybe.
Okay. What does an artist have for you to be interested in taking time out to work with them?
I mean, a voice of their own, I'd say. Yeah, it's like it's the same as like being, you're drawn to people on a personal level, or you're drawn to a musician because you like what they do. And then some musicians I like, but I've never ever worked with them. But sometimes you could hear that you might be compatible, or you just have like this some kind of frequency that matches or something,
Yeah. Do you ever have like one of those existential crises where you've been doing this for a long time, but do you ever look in the mirror and think, why do I keep doing this?
Existential crisis. Yeah, fuck yeah. It, but less so now than before. Like, I think when I first started making albums, I put everything that I had into an album, and I still do. And then oftentimes, not with every album, but sometimes an album makes you feel completely drained. Like you put everything you ever had into it, and you don't see yourself ever expressing anything again. And it can leave you for kind of like speechless for a while. Like no ideas really comes to you. And then you sort of get desperate because you're afraid that nothing will ever come again. And then yeah, then I maybe in the past I'd go like make some dubious life decisions, or like go get like lost just because I didn't know where to sort of like tie what to tie my reins to. But I've kind of been through that cycle so much that I kind of like learned to trust in myself that like yeah, that there's more there, just the well doesn't seem to like run dry all that easily.
Has it become easier to, with time, to sit with the blank notebook and write lyrics? Maybe easier is not the word. Has it become more fun?
Yeah, I mean, it was always fun, and even when it wasn't, it's just like kind of like such a part of big part of how I function and what I do. But yeah, no, like I would say these days, it's like I feel very hyper productive, and there's so many ideas that seems to want to get out that I can hardly like find the time to like nurture all of them. And that is fucking fun. Like, there's nothing I enjoy more than kind of like follow something through the process of vagueness into a fully formed thing that wasn't there before. Like, that's my favorite thing. And well, it doesn't have to be fun, but I mean, like, sometimes hard times are kind of fun too, and sometimes like fun times are pretty hard. I don't know, man.
But have you found a method that works for you to like make sure that giving form to something happens?
Just, well, yeah, put in the hours. Like you can't expect to like just live like sort of like a charmed life of somebody who just kind of like wanders around and picks fully formed ideas like down from an apple tree or something, you know. It requires some spending time with it, and more than anything, making yourself available. Like so sometimes I work with just like kind of setting a set amount of time out during the day where I just have to sit there, and I tell myself it's okay if I don't like compose a single note or write a single word, but I just have to sit there and not do anything else, to just kind of be available to see what comes. And sometimes you feel completely uninspired, like you feel like you got nothing to say, and then you sit with that for a while, and suddenly a small thing comes and something else comes, and then in the end you're like, which part of my subconsciousness like fucking drew this out? So yeah, putting in actual work helps.
Well, you're as I said at the beginning, you're playing Barcelona and Madrid next week. What do you look forward to about Spain when you think, it's on the calendar, good, I'm going next week? I really want to
Man, like, just I look forward to go south, and I mean, the streets of Barcelona is just, it's a feeling that I always kind of enjoy. So yeah, I just want to like wander around and kind of like feel that like maniacal energy, and hopefully like look at some. That's one thing I envy Barcelona or parts of Spain, or generally like the south of Europe for, is I love laundry that's tied between two buildings. People don't do that in Copenhagen.
Is Copenhagen becoming unrecognizable because it's become like the number one hotspot city where everybody wants to go? Is it like starting to become a drag, like, you know, the cities that become all of a sudden the top one city that everyone wants to go to?
Is it?
Oh yeah.
No, not unrecognizable. I mean, like, it's been gentrified like anywhere else, and like it's seen a massive shift since I was a, you know, kid there. But I mean, gentrification has been happening for a good minute now. I mean, where I live, like, bump just went off at a store the other day, and like they smashed up shops for ragging money, and like so that they'll probably keep the rent down. It definitely has like a lot of its soul intact, even though, you know, we had to look at like a bunch of shit coffee stores and stuff.
It's the same in Barcelona, yeah, but yeah, the essence is still there. Our time is up. Thank you so much, Elias. I look forward
to talking to you.
Salabol next week. See you next week. Have a good safe trip.
Ciao. See you.
Ciao.